I'm sitting in the studio and I have company because I'm talking to Thomas Mobbs. He's a Conservative representing rural Tunbridge Wells on the Borough Council. Thomas, hello.
Martin, good evening. How are you?
Thanks so much for coming in. Let's start with the fact you're a councillor. You only became a councillor last year. What possessed you to decide to go into local politics?
Well, I've always liked to help people. And there was a situation last year where the boundary review had taken place on Tunbridge Wells Borough Council. We were conformed into large three-member wards. Now, in my area, what that meant was that four parish councils were put into one electoral ward. And with only three councillors being elected, that meant that one parish was automatically going to miss out. And obviously the risk of three missing out was a possibility. So there was no one, to my knowledge, standing for Brenchley Matfield, the parish in which I live in. So I stood as a Conservative candidate and here I am.
So that is quite a big area, isn't it, that you are sort of responsible for? What are the other parishes then, apart from the Brenchley Matfield one?
So we have Lamberhurst, Goudhurst and Horseman Den. It is very, very large. It is probably larger than geographically than Tunbridge Wells itself.
And, you know, you care about people sorting things out. I mean, what have you found so far? How's it gone in your first sort of nearly a year of being a councillor? Was it what you expected?
I would have expected more from the council, them doing more. But in terms of, there's been a lot of parish work, whether it's sorting out residents' issues regarding bins or planning. Planning's been a very big one. We have a very large application going in Horseman Den, 120 houses. So that's going to come up very soon at council. So a lot of work has been put into that.
Let's look at the major issues facing the Borough Council, and it can really be a bigger issue really, than the fact that it's going to be abolished. What do you make of this idea of getting rid of these borough councils for Seven Oaks, Tunbridge, Tunbridge Wells? I mean, they're sort of areas that people can at least make sense of, aren't they? And they're all going to go.
Yeah, so for listeners who don't know what's going on with local government reorganisation, the county councils and the district councils are effectively going to be abolished at some point in the very near future. The Labour government wants it to be completed by the end of their parliamentary term in office. So Tunbridge Wells geographically is in quite a nice position that we know that we're going to be in a West Kent unitary authority. Whether there's three or four different unitaries is still to be discussed. The government did not put Kent on the devolution priority programme. So that means that we have elections this year, which I think is very good. And we will have to see over the coming months what the plans for the reorganisation within Kent. A proposal needs to go in March. So not long to wait.
What would it mean? I mean, the selling point is supposedly there'll be less confusion, because at the moment, you know, things go wrong with the pavements, it's the borough, the things go wrong with the roads, it's the county council, people are confused. But on the other hand, you can see these unitaries. I mean, at the moment across Kent, you've got one head of education, one head of social services, one head of highways. If you're going to have heads of education, social services and highways in four different councils now, those county council services, isn't it going to cost us all more money?
I would like to see three unitary councils. So obviously from four to three is a cut. On the other hand, though, you do have 13 chief executives of district councils. So there's a saving there as well. A lot of it comes to a streamlining of process. It makes no sense to me that a district or borough council collects the waste, Kent County Council gets rid of it. There's Tunbridge Wells Borough Council does the house building, but the Kent County Council are the primary responsible authority for delivering infrastructure. So when residents have clear focus on who's delivering for what, I think that is going to, that will make a long, it is going to be a good thing. Ultimately.
So yeah, it's interesting how across party lines, there are quite a lot of differences of opinion. You know, we've got the Liberal Democrat, Ben Chapelle, so it was quite positive. Seven Oaks Lib Dem we spoke to was quite negative. In fact, just an hour ago, we had Dennis King a Conservative in Tunbridge, and he thought it was sort of bad news because the next up council with any power will just be a lot more distant from people.
Well, I think that comes down to the quality of councillor, to be honest, Martin. You can have this larger scale, but if your it's down to political parties to field good candidates that can represent the people effectively. Now, that in a town, that's probably slightly easier. Where I come from, where you already have such large geographical boundaries, which would only get bigger, and parish councils which aid in that delivery, you are going to have a situation where multiple parishes are going to be missing out on effective local representation. It comes down to candidates. If you have a good candidate, they'll make that representation heard in full council.
Okay, so we've heard that Sevenoaks already has already historically had a town council, as well as having been the centre for a borough council. Tunbridge looks likely if the people there follow what all the political leaders seem to indicate they want. Tunbridge will get a town council. What about Tunbridge Wells then? It hasn't got a town council. Things like the Amelia Centre are run by the borough council, and not many people anyway seem to think that it was worth having a separate town council. So should Tunbridge Wells have a town council?
Yes, is the short answer. Okay. It should. And the tide of movement is towards everywhere having a parish or town council. I think that is good for, and that, coming back to your point on local representation, that is where you get that additional locality. What its function is, let's see what happens in the coming months. That's obviously to be decided, but whether it's one large town council for Tunbridge Wells, or whether it is maybe a Sherwood Parish Council, or Highbrooms and or a Pantiles, I think
Southborough does have its because it was historic urban district council, it does already have a town council, and I have to say that it does struggle to find enough people who even want to be elected. You know, if this Tunbridge Wells Town Council doesn't own the Amelia, I mean, it's a big building. It seems unlikely that a town council could run it. That would have to be run by the unitary in Maidstone. You know, is this local representation at parish council level? It may work for small villages dealing with relatively cheap assets, but can it really work for Tunbridge Wells Town Council? Is it really worth having if it isn't actually controlling the main buildings like the Amelia?
Well, you've got to treat it as a two-edged sword. You can either have a town council that looks after these large buildings and then makes us weaker as a political negotiating town at a unitary level. So I would be in favour of having all of our larger assets that the borough already owns transferred into a new unitary, and whether the maintenance of parks or other sort of more local events that takes place in the town council. I think that would be a very good sort of compromise.
Let's look at another issue, though, that many people feel is actually behind all this removing power from borough councils, which is house building. And many people have said, in fact, Dennis King, the Conservative councillor we heard an hour ago, that was one of the points he made, was the idea that opposition to house building will be less organised. Local people will have their voice not so well expressed with these big unitaries. So do you think that's behind some of this?
I can certainly see the arguments being made that bringing forward a unitary authority will distance residents from their councillors. But again, as I said previously, it comes down to the effectiveness of the councillor. If you have a good councillor who's on top of issues, then I don't think it's going to be a necessarily a problem.
So what about the issues in your area locally? Do you have controversial house building schemes in sort of east of Tunbridge Wells?
Well, yes. In Horsemonden, we have the Bassett's Farm development that is going to be going ahead to the planning committee very soon. It has 120 houses, and that in a small village of Horsemonden is going to change the dynamic of the village quite heavily. But I think actually you need to look at the whole of the borough. House building, there is going to be a monumental change in the way that house building's going to take place now, mainly due to the government's increase in housing targets. We're going to go from 678, our house planning target at the moment, to
1,000, is it?
To 1,098.
Right.
Which is a 62% increase.
So over what period? You say the target, just explain the target.
So the target will come in 2026.
Okay.
July 2026. And at present, the local plan that is going through the inspector, and I appreciate I'm talking council jargon here, so if it's too much, please stop me. That's going to come to full council very soon, and that does not have a 5-year land supply of housing, which will result in a call for sites. And at that point, landowners or anyone with land can put their land forward for house building. So, and that's going to change the dynamic entirely on Tunbridge Wells house building. You have this large argument at the moment about Capel.
Yes, and which was a plan, and the inspector, the national inspector, said had to be taken out because it just wasn't a sensible plan to put all these houses in an area where people would presumably be driving along a narrow country lane to Tunbridge to get to the nearest station.
Yeah, and you can see logic in that argument. But we are getting to a point now where we could be backed into a corner with an increase in housing.
So do you think the Capel idea will come back? Is that what you're saying?
When a call for sites comes forward, all of the land will come forward again. And it's going to be down to the Borough Council to look at its effective, the use of the land. So it's going to be back on the agenda, whether it happens or not, I'm not sure. But what I would be promoting is smaller, sustainable developments and a gradual implementation of development rather than mass development of 4,000 houses. You know, do it in 200, 300 plots at a time. That means that the infrastructure will cope over small incrementation rather than having 4,000 houses dumped and the services not being there to supply that.
And what about the idea of putting development, if it happens, close to existing stations, as opposed to railway stations and public transport links, as opposed to in the middle of the countryside?
Well, I think when it comes to building in Capel or in my ward itself, there is only a 5-10 minute drive to the nearest station, that being Paddockwood or Tunbridge. So the commute, people will make the journey. I don't think it's out of reach to go and, you know, have that issue about having those connection routes.
Some people would say that we've actually got enough housing in Kent already, and all the levelling up around the country should imply that we actually put the new houses for the growing population, not in the overcrowded southeast where the infrastructure is already at breaking point.
Well, I think when you have an what I would call overambitious target of building 1.5 million homes in the parliamentary term, these houses are going to have to go everywhere because you're not going to be able to put all of those houses up north or in the west or something. Everyone is going to have their fair share because the arguments that we're making are just as valid up north or in the west or anywhere else in the country. So everyone's fighting. No one would like development in their backyard, but it's sadly an inevitability. So you need to position yourself strategically as to where you can manage and cope and deliver sustainable development.